Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sri Vishnu Sahasranam, name 777, is Chatur, another Chatur, Chatur Vedavit. The name is Chatur Vedavit. So this is an easy one to understand. One who knows the four Vedas. And properly speaking, in the fullest sense of the term, this name can be applied to Narayan, Vishnu, Krishna. Because others may know, they may be Vaishnavas, because the Vedas, ultimately they meant, they're aimed at understanding Krishna, Vedaishya Sarvarahameva Vedyaha. The Veda means knowledge, Vedyaha means that which is to be known. So in all the Vedas, Krishna says, I am the object of knowledge. So one may know, yes, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. He's the object of all the Vedas. But we may know that, but how much can we understand it, actually? One thing, who knows all the four Vedas anyway? There may be. I don't think so at the present time. Previously, there may have been. But even if you know the Vedas, and even if you're a Vaishnava, I mean, a no means to be able to recite just freely all the Vedas. If you can do that, you can memorize. Maybe you can, maybe you have such good memory. I'm a victim of Kali Yuga, in which Smriti Shakti, the power to remember, is reducing day by day, among other things. But even if one understands and one knows the Vedas and has understood them, but how much can we understand Krishna? Only Krishna can understand himself. But he also, because he's so deep, sometimes it's said he also can't understand himself. Or even if he understands, his glories are always increasing. So he doesn't understand. He understands, then he doesn't understand. The point is that Krishna is so deep. It's deep and vast, and how can we understand? Even to understand a human being, the psychology of any one human, it's not a very easy thing. We don't even understand our own psychology. We understand it. We may think we understand, but I don't understand why my pen always runs out when I need it. So even to understand a tiny little limited jiva, a very incredibly complex psychology. So to understand Krishna, but we don't have the powers that Krishna does. We don't have the network of Krishna being connected with everything and everyone in the multiverses. Krishna's in that way a very, very complex person, because he's connected with everything. We can say someone is a complex personality or a multifaceted personality if they're a businessman, a socialite, a philanthropist, a scuba diver, a literateur, a poet, his multifaceted personality. But how multifaceted can you be? Renaissance man. There was an idea of in the Renaissance that someone could be expert in everything. Maybe like Leonardo da Vinci was expert in various things. But there's so many facets of existence. I just met, just an hour ago, I met a professor of criminology who trains people from all over India to be jail wardens and this and that. And I'd heard of the term criminology, but you know, it's a whole big science in itself, and there must be departments within that. I never really given much thought to it. And then I run into, seems like the top professor of criminology in all of India. And what do I know about it? I hardly know the word. I mean, I know the word, but what is it? What are the implications of that word? It's just one small area. I'm not saying it's unimportant, but if we consider all the facets of human experience, especially as the world gets more and more complex with so many different studies coming up, as society becomes more and more complex, then how can you keep up with it? How can you know everything that Krishna does, and the scope of Krishna's knowledge and understanding is even to get an idea of the scope of his, of what he knows is not what to speak or not to speak of knowing what he knows. We can't even imagine what he knows. We can't even imagine the scope of it. And he's the subject of the Vedas. So how can we be a knower of the Vedas? So the name Chaturveda Vid, precisely, or in the true sense of the term, refers to him and not anyone else. Who other people, they may know the Vedas in the sense of being able, they've memorized and can recite them, but they can't know in the way that Krishna does, which is really knowing. To know without understanding the meaning is superficial. Or even if one does understand the meaning, that Vedasya Sarvaraham Eva Vedyaha, Krishna is the object of knowledge in the Vedas. But what is the implication of that statement? Just like we may say, E equals MC squared, energy equals mass by multiplied by the speed of light squared. But what we can say it, but what is the implication of it? What does it mean, first of all? Maybe sometimes someone could try and explain it to me, because it's not that it's important for my Krishna consciousness, but there's some curiosity. And then, but its implication in scientific understanding. You have to be very advanced in scientific understanding to even begin to understand all these things. When I say scientific understanding, of course, in science, there's so many different areas. You probably don't need E equals MC squared to study the mating habits of pigeons, for instance, which is also part of science. Studies all so many different things like that. But Krishna knows everything. It's just, it's not even mind-boggling. It's just far beyond anything which we can even begin to conceive of. Now, another meaning is given, that there are persons who are learned in the Vedas He is that object of knowledge who is to be known in the four Vedas. By the way, talking about the four Vedas, but we often hear about the three Vedas, just like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Riksama Yajureva Cha. Quite often in the lists of the Vedas, only the Riks, Sama and Yajur, and sometimes usually Rig, Yajur, Sama, but quite often Atharva is not mentioned. Exactly why that is so, maybe some of the Vedic Acharyas explain. If so, please let me know. I'm definitely not claiming to know everything. But the mundane scholars, they have all different ideas why that should be. Some of them say the Atharva Veda was later invented, which is rubbish. Some say because the Atharva Veda is not on the same level, because it has lots of magic incantations for fulfilling desires and killing enemies. But then it also has important Upanishads, very high level knowledge within it. But we can understand that the Rig, Sama and Yajur are emphasized more because Krishna says like that. Or you could say that could be hypothesized that Atharva is not mentioned. Actually, everything's in the Rig Veda, right? It's a big topic, understanding even what the Vedas are. There are different opinions upon that. Some say it's just the Vedic Sanghitas, and then some don't. And then others include Brahmanas and Aranyakas. They don't accept the Upanishads. And then we have right in Shastra itself says that Mahabharata is the fifth Veda. And there are different, even in Shastra there may be different definitions of what it is. But if we understand that the Vedas are that by which Krishna is understood, we can say any knowledge that helps us to understand Krishna. So in that sense, everything, if one has the vision of seeing Krishna, then everything becomes, all knowledge becomes a way by which we can see Krishna. In that sense, even the speculations of modern scientists, if it's linked with Krishna consciousness, we can say that's also, that could also be considered Veda, but in a very secondary way, because when we say Veda, generally we mean Rig, Sama, Yajur, and Atharva. We can have four Vedas. But then Srila Prabhupada uses the term Vedic in a way which modern scholars don't like, and I'm with Prabhupada, definitely. It's not Vedic. Vedic means the Vedic age. But Prabhupada said, no, it's the Puranas, it's all based on the Vedas. It's all Puriyati iti Purana, that which fulfills, that which fills up, that which Vedeshu Durlabham, which is that which is not very easily found in the Vedas, Krishna. That is given in the Puranas. It's a huge, huge, huge topic. And the persons who try to understand this topic by going outside the Vedic tradition, the guru-disciple parampara tradition, they're not going to understand. They may amass a lot of information about the Vedas and this and that, but they can't even begin to understand. It has to be studied in the tradition. They're very these academic scholars. They think they know a lot, and superficially they may do, but they don't have any entrance into the knowledge of the Vedas as it actually is. One has to become a disciple and learn from a guru, and that's not the same as learning from a teacher. One has to submit to the guru. It's a training. Character training is there. One has to have good character even before one can be admitted as a disciple of the guru. It's not that one. As Satsarup Maharaj said that once he was when he was on the library party distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, sets of books to universities, he was invited by one professor of Indology to a get-together that they all had. And so he went along and to that, and he was quite excited, thinking all the big professors of Indology in America, and they're assembled here. And they were just getting drunk, and one of them, what was it? They were joking about, do you actually believe it? And they don't believe it. And one recounted an experience he had in India where he was stoned on marijuana, and he saw a little puddle of water, and he thought it was a huge ocean, and they were all laughing. And he understood, Sasra Maharaj understood, that this, what Prabhupada is giving, even we may not be as learned as these scholars in terms of amassment of information, but we're so fortunate to be on the actual Vedic path. Even if academic scholars don't accept that we're on the Vedic path at all, because the Vedas mean to understand Krishna. One comment given by this Sri Vaishnava commentators is that to know him, he's to be known by the Vedas. To know him as he is in Vaikuntha, Parampadam, is very difficult, but in his Vyuha, which we've discussed, and Vibhava appearances, by his grace, a little bit of his glory can be realized. I'm surprised they say Vyuha and Vibhava, because Vyuha is also, they've stated, that's not accessible to those in this world. The Vibhav, and especially the Archa forms, can be seen within this world. Of course, his Archa form is generally, unless one becomes very, very advanced, generally passive in relation to the devotee. At least, unless one is very, very advanced, we don't expect the deity to directly speak to us. Then Shankaracharya, he gives the very straightforward meaning of this name, Chaturvedavid, he who is the knower of the four Vedas. But he explains it, yathavat veti, chaturnam vedanam artam iti chaturvedavid. Who knows the Vedas who knows the meaning of the Vedas as they actually are. Now, of course, the followers of Shankaracharya will say that, well, he's given the meaning of the Vedas in his Vedanta Sutra commentary, Sharirika Bhasha, or Brahma Sutra Bhasha. But the Vaishnava Acharyas have shown the deficiencies in that with their own commentaries. What can we understand about all this? We take Bhagavad Gita as it is. And this way we can understand all the essence of the Vedas. Gita su gita kartavya kimanyai shastra vistarai yasvayam padmanabhasya mukhapadmad vinistrita. In the Gita Mahatmyam, the glorification of the Gita, is stated, it is imperative to chant the Gita or study the Gita and very carefully and nicely. What is the need of studying any other shastra in depth, considering that the Bhagavad Gita is spoken directly by the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself? It emanates, he's Padmanabha, he has the lotus navel, and it emanates directly from his lotus mouth. What is the need for studying any scripture in depth? And you may say, well, why study Vishnu Sahasranama? Actually, all we need to know to surrender to Krishna is right there in Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna did it after hearing in Bhagavad Gita. But then, for to more details of understanding and just the pleasure of hearing about and discussing about Krishna, because we go to other scriptures also. Just like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Madchitta, Madgata, Prana, Bodhayanta, Parasparam, Katayantas, Jamang, Nityang, Tushyanti, Cha, Ramanti, Cha. That my devotees, they take great pleasure in discussing about me mutually among themselves. They're very satisfied and pleased by doing that. Those devotees whose mind and their life has gone to me. They're fully absorbed in me. So then, yeah, we like to discuss Vishnu Sahasranama. It helps us to realize in more depth the truths that Krishna speaks in Gita. It's all there in Gita, but to understand those points from different perspectives, we can study other scriptures. And of course, in Bhagavatam, is in detail, so many points which are not in Gita directly. It's expanded. The knowledge in Gita is given in more depth. But if Srila Prabhupada said, if you understand even one verse of Bhagavad Gita properly, that's enough to be fully Krishna conscious. And you can hear in the background devotees blissfully chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. So, what's that? Well, they should be studying the Vedas. But in the Shastra itself is stated Rig Veda Chayajur Veda Sama Veda Pi Atharvanaha. Here Atharva Veda is mentioned. Adhitas tena yenoktam haririt yakshara dvayam. Anyone who utters the two syllables, ha, ri, it's understood that they have, by that act alone, studied all the four Vedas. So chanting Hare Krishna is equivalent to studying all the Vedas. Then why don't we just chant Hare Krishna? Well, if we don't take knowledge from Shastra, then our chanting, we won't understand who Krishna is properly or how to properly approach him. And then our chanting will not come to the standard of purity. We may mistake someone else to be Krishna. That's some bogus avatars. They also encourage their followers to chant the names of Krishna, but they promote that they themselves are that Krishna, or maybe even more than Krishna. So we need to understand the Vedic knowledge as it is properly. One of the commentators, Radha Krishna Shastri, comments that not only does Vishnu know all the four Vedas completely and with their correct meanings, but he is also the Vedas himself. And he states that knowing him is possible only for those who have learned the Vedas correctly and with their true meanings. Well, we'll get back to that later, because that thought that you have to learn all the Vedas and study their meanings, that's not the conclusion of Shastra. We'll get back to that a little later. But the point is that one can really be said to know the Vedas, one's study is full and complete, when he has realized, first of all, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, is the goal of the Vedas. And when one actually not just knows that, but actually realizes him means to know he is the Lord of my life, he is the Lord of all life, I'm his eternal servant. We have from Srimad Bhagavatam, description. Bhagavan Brahma Katsnyena Trier Anviksha Manishaya Tad Adhyavasyat Kutastho Ratir Atmanyato Bhavit. The great personality Brahma, with great attention and concentration of the mind, studied the Vedas 3 times, and after scrutinizingly examining them, he ascertained that attraction for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is the highest perfection of religion. So this is what Krishna, he helps people to know the meaning of the 4 Vedas, and this is what the meaning of the 4 Vedas is. First of all, to understand that Krishna is the goal of the Vedas. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Chaturvedavit, Baladev Vidyabhushan says, is he who teaches the 4 devotees, the 4 Vedas to the devotees, which he does in the form of the Guru. He makes it possible to know the 4 Vedas. Now I may say, well, what are you talking about? You don't study the Vedas in ISKCON. Well, we do in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, and Jiva Goswami has explained why, that in the present age, what's going on at the present time in this Kali Yuga is most of the Vedas are lost. The Vedas and the Veda Shakas, the traditions, are lost. But we have the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the what is that verse? It's late at night. Sarvashrut itihasanam saram saram hi udahritam. All the Vedas and the itihasas, and that means all the Puran, everything. The essence of all of that is Srimad Bhagavatam. So we can understand the essence of the Vedas from Bhagavatam, chanting Hare Krishna, service to Guru in the Parampara system. This way we can actually come to the conclusion of the Vedas, which Brahma came to, is that attraction for the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the highest perfection of religion. And Bhagavatam gives that highest perfection. Shraddha Ratir Bhaktir Anukramishyati. By discussing Krishna, especially from Bhagavatam, in the association of devotees, Satang Prasangan Mamavirya Sangvido Bhavanti Karna Rasayana Kata Tadjoshavana Rashva Pavarga Vartmani Shraddha Ratir Bhaktir Anukramishyati. The same word, Rati, to the attraction for the Supreme Lord. So by hearing about the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the association of great devotees, about his glories and his wonderful activities, is very, very pleasing to the mind and to the ears, to the heart. And by hearing that, one advances on the path of liberation. In other words, one becomes detached from this material world, and one's faith in Krishna, one's attraction to Krishna, and one's devotion to Krishna, they develop stage by stage. They all develop. So Baladev Vidyabhushan explains that he enables the devotees to understand all this. The devotees, bhaktan, Baladev uses this word exactly. The devotion to him is revealed in the Vedas, and only by becoming a devotee will Krishna allow one to understand what the actual message of the Vedas is, at least to the extent that we as tiny jivas are able to understand. Bhaktya mama bijanati, Krishna can be understood by devotion. As Srila Prabhupada explained, Krishna never said by karma or by jnana or by yoga. He can be known, he who is the ultimate object of knowledge in the Vedas can be known only through devotional service. So he is the very essence of knowledge, of the knowledge of the Vedas, and everything the Vedas all lead to him. But it's hard to understand him. I quoted that Vedeshu Durlabham. Now I'll quote the whole verse. This is from Brahma Samhita. Advaitam achutam anadim anantarupam adyang purana purusham navayovanam cha Vedeshu Durlabham adurlabham atma bhaktau Govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. Lord Brahma says, I worship Govinda, the original personality of Godhead, who is one, infallible, without beginning, appears in unlimited forms, which is appears to be contradictory to Advaita, means one. Adyam, he's the original Purana Purush, he's the original oldest person, old person, but Navayovanam, he's a fresh youth. So Vedeshu Durlabham, why is it difficult to understand? Vedeshu Durlabham, difficult to understand through the Vedas, because these descriptions of him are given in the Vedas, and they appear to be contradictory. And with our tiny little brains, we can't understand, but Adurlabham Atma Bhakto, he reveals himself and becomes very easily available to the devotees. So it may appear difficult to understand because it appears to be contradictory. And I'm planning in still quite a few names to get up to Achintya, that name. And I plan to discuss the contradictory qualities of the Lord in the discussion of the name in Vishnu Sahasranam, Achintya. As far as knowing the four Vedas are concerned, someone who knows them, Chatur Veda Vit, one who has memorized all the Vedas and can recite them without looking at any book or any such thing, can recite them perfectly with the correct intonation. They're called the Chaturvedi. And we have the names of Brahmins, in the family names of Brahmins by caste in North India. Dvivedi, one who knows two Vedas, although none of them hard, I don't hardly anyone even knows one Veda, no. The tradition is lost. Trivedi, one who knows three Vedas. And you don't usually get the name. So these are common names, Dvivedi, Trivedi. That's quite a feat. If you know one Veda, that's good. If you know two, that's pretty good. Better three, but to know four, that's really superb. So Chaturvedi, we don't get that name, but we get Chobe, which is a shortened non-Sanskrit upper branch of the name Chatur. And there are so many Chobes, the Mathura Chobes they're a well-known community. So even if one knows all the Vedas in that sense, still, we have to consider another Vedic statement, not directly in the Vedas, but in the corpus of the Vedic literature. Janmana jayate shudra sanskara bhavet dvija veda partet bhavet vipra brahma janatiti brahmana. By birth, one is born a shudra. That means even if one is born in a brahmana family, Shochatiyati Shudra, one cries and laments, which a baby does. A baby has, you can't say a baby is a brahmana, only in a very material way, because he can't even talk, what to speak of recite the Vedas or know anything about the Vedas. So Janmana Jayate Shudra, everyone is born a Shudra by birth. But sanskara bhavet dvija, one who is born in family of brahmana, kshatriyas, and vaishyas, can undertake upanayanam samskara and become known as a twice born. Then veda partet bhavet vipra, when one can actually, one's actually studied the Vedas and can recite at least one Veda, then he's called a vipra. But Brahmajanatiti Brahmana, one who knows the subject of the Vedas, which is Brahma, the absolute truth, which is ultimately Krishna, he can actually be called a Brahmana. Brahmajanatiti Brahmana means one who knows Brahma, which is the subject of the ultimate subject of the Vedas. And Brahma means Krishna, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, as Arjuna told Krishna. You are the Supreme Brahman. You are the supreme abode, resting place of everything. Actually, knowing one Veda is enough for a Brahmana to execute his duties. That's why we see that there are some Brahmanas who are Rig Vedis, who are Yajur Vedis, and it was presumed that the Atharva Vedis, that was lost completely, but then there was some were discovered. So it's still living. Samaveda, there may be different Brahmana shakas or family lines who are devoted to one particular Veda. It's enough to be a full, complete Brahmana in the conventional sense of the term. You can do Patan, Partan, Yajan, Yajan, Dana, Pratigraha. You can do all these things, studying the Vedas, reciting the Vedas, teaching others, performing sacrifices in one's own home for the sake of one's own uplift, performing sacrifice for others, accepting charity, giving charity to others. You can do all these things, fully qualified to execute one's duties, even by knowing one Veda. But the real fruit of studying one, two, three, or four Vedas, and then there's also the Vedangas, and to study the Vedas, one should study the Chandas, the meters, and then Nirukti, the meaning of the words. We're talking about the Vedangas here. But the study is there when one realizes the Supreme Lord is not possible simply by having a good brain and coming from a good family, not by panditry, not by being super brain. Even if we know so much, if we don't know Krishna, then here's an instruction of Krishna to Lord Brahma. Ritertam yat pratiyeta na pratiyeta chatmani tad vidyad atmano mayam yata bhaso yata tamaha. O Brahma, whatever appears to be of any value, if it is without relation to me, has no reality. Know it as my illusory energy, that reflection which appears to be in darkness. So even if we know the Vedas, if we don't know Krishna, it's just Maya. The Vedas aren't Maya, but what is the meaning of Maya? Illusion. It means to incorrectly perceive. It's not that this world is false, but our perception of it as being separate from Krishna is false. So even the Vedas become Maya to us if we don't perceive the relation with Krishna, which is what all the Vedas are about. Now, here's an extract from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prataparudra Maharaj asked Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Raja Kohe, the king, Prataparudra asked, Shastra Pramane Chaitanya Hon Krishna Tobe Kene Pandit Shab Tahate Bitrishna. The king's very intelligent question was that by the evidence of the scripture we can understand that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna. Why is it then, he asked, that we have so many great Vedic scholars, but they have no interest in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Savabhan Bhattacharya, in reply, said, Ta kripa nahe jare, pandit nahe kene, dekhile shunile tare ishra namane. Savabhan Bhattacharya said that one who does not have his mercy, even if he's a great scholar, then even by seeing him and hearing about his qualities, they won't understand he's the Supreme Lord. This was Savabhan Bhattacharya's position. Savabhan Bhattacharya asked his brother-in-law, Gopinath Acharya, well, you say Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord, but I'm a big scholar. I don't find that in the Shastra. How can you say that he's the Supreme Lord? Gopinath Acharya quoted the verse, which we'll now, from Bhagavatam, which Savabhan Bhattacharya now recites to Prataparudra Maharaj in response to the question of Prataparudra Maharaj. Why is it that these great scholars of the Vedas, they can't understand Krishna, or they can't understand that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna? So what was said at this juncture by Savabhan Bhattacharya, quoting from Brahma's prayers to Krishna, in the Bhagavatam, Atapite deva padambuja dvaya prasada leshanu grihita evahi janati tatvang bhagavan lahimno nachanya ekopi chirang vichinvang. Lord Brahma said, my Lord, if one is favored by even a slight trace of the mercy of your lotus feet, he can understand the greatness of your personality. Not fully, of course. But he can understand this is great personality. He is that great personality who is far greater than all of us. So continuing the translation given by Srila Prabhupada, but those who speculate to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead are unable to know you, even though they continue to study the Vedas for many years. They may be great scholars of the Vedas, but they can't understand Krishna if they don't get his mercy, and one will not invoke his mercy unless, again from the same prayers of Brahma, Gyane prayasa udapasya namanta eva jivanti sanmukaritam bhavati avaratam sthane stita shudigatang tanuvang manobhya ye prayasho jitajito api apitai strilokyam. One who is puffed up, but thinking I'm very knowledgeable, Brahma says, he should just give up that attitude altogether of thinking I'll study and know everything. Hear from devotees and dedicate one's life in Krishna's service. Then we can conquer Krishna, who is otherwise unconquerable. Otherwise we may know so many things, but we remain completely... We know the Vedas, Veda means knowledge, but we remain completely ignorant of what the Vedas teach. Even we're very expert in analyzing all the words and the word juncture. Why is that then? How is it that Krishna can only be understood by those who get his mercy? Well, there's much evidence about this. Atashri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grahyam Indriyahi Sivon Mukhe Hijivada Swayame Vaspurati Adaha. The holy name, form, qualities, and pastimes of Krishna, they're not understandable through the mundane senses, mind, or intelligence. But he will reveal himself to someone who has an attitude of service to him. And bhakti means devotional service. Beginning with the tongue, chanting his holy name, and only accepting Krishna Prasad as one's food. And then Krishna will very happily reveal himself to such a devotee. Otherwise, one may be very learned, but maya parita jnana, one is classified by Krishna as someone who is superficially learned, but his actual learning is covered by the illusory energy of Krishna. Now, he's saying that one of the commentators, Radha Krishna Shastri, is saying to understand him, you have to understand the real purport of the Vedas. You have to know them. You have to learn the Vedas first of all. But that is not accepted in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Here are some quotes from Srimad Bhagavatam. Tevai vidantyati taranti cha deva mayam stri shudra huna shabara apipapa jivaha yad yad bhuta krama parayana shila shikshas tiryag jana apikim ushuta dharanaye. Surrendered souls, even from groups leading sinful lives, such as women, the laborer class, the mountaineers, Prabhupada gives here the hun, as the means people living in the mountain regions, the tribal people living, the shabaras, very low class kind of people, forest dwellers, or even the birds and beasts can also know about the science of God and become liberated from the clutches of the illusory energy by surrendering unto the pure devotees of the Lord and by following in their footsteps in devotional service. So even if one has no ability, no brain power to study the Vedas, precisely one gets all the purport of the Vedas by devotional service. Etavad eva jignyasam tatva jignyasunatmanaha anvyavyati reka byam yatsyat sarvatra sarvada. A person who is searching after the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, must certainly search for it up to this in all circumstances, in all space and time, and both directly and indirectly. This is Bhagavatam. It's deep. It's a lot deeper than the be here now, if it feels good, do it, and all these slogans which may pass off as wisdom or spirituality. From the purport, Srila Prabhupada's extensive purport to this verse I'm going to read, is all in the context of Chaturvedavid, of course, that's the name I'm discussing here. Srila Jiva Goswami Prabhupada therefore comments on the word sarvatra sarvada, which means everywhere and always. Sarvatra sarvada in the sense that the principles of bhakti yoga or devotional service to the Lord are apt in all circumstances. That is, that bhakti yoga is recommended in all the revealed scriptures. It is performed by all authorities. It is important in all places. It is useful in all causes and effects, etc. As far as all the revealed scriptures are concerned, he quotes from the Skanda Purana on the topics of Brahma and Narada as follows. Sangsare smin maha ghaure janma mrityu samakule pujanang vasudevasya tarakang vadibhi smritam. In the material world, which is full of darkness and dangers, combined with birth and death and full of different anxieties, the only way to get out of the great entanglement is to accept loving transcendental devotional service to Lord Vasudev. This is accepted by all classes of philosophers, people who actually know the Vedas, Chaturvedavid. They understand that to get out of this material entanglement, one doesn't have to be learned in the Vedas in the literal sense. One has to know the essence, which is that one has to surrender to Krishna and engage in his transcendent loving service and actually do it. It's not just a matter of knowing, one actually has to do it. Continuing from the purport, Srila Jiva Goswami also quotes another common passage which is found in three Puranas, namely the Padma Purana, Skanda Purana, and Linga Purana. It runs as follows. Alorya sarva shastrani vicharya cha punah punaha idam ekam sunishpannam dhyayo narayana sada. By scrutinizingly reviewing all the revealed scriptures and judging them again and again, It is now concluded that Lord Narayana is the supreme absolute truth, and thus he alone should be worshipped. So, if one gets that knowledge that the supreme absolute truth is Narayana and only he should be worshipped, then it may not be necessary to go all through all the Vedas. Bahunam janmanamante gyanavang mam prapadyate is one who's on the path of trying to understand by knowledge. He may come to the conclusion after many lives, but you can come to it right away. The conclusion, Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Samahatma Sudurlabha. The conclusion, Krishna gives it right there, that Vasudeva, myself, Krishna, I am all in all, and then such a rare Mahatma, one who comes to this platform simply by trying to study, comes to the platform of surrendering to Krishna. He's a very rare Mahatma, but it's very easily obtained. Vedeshu Durlabhama Durlabhama Atma Bhakto. That same platform is easily attained by approaching the devotees who tell you right out, it's Krishna. There was something, the Rubik's Cube or something, which no one, I don't know what it was exactly, but no one could solve it. But once it was solved, then everyone could understand. But if you try to solve it by yourself, even now, you won't solve it. But if someone tells you, oh, then it becomes easy. So continuing this purport, the same truth is also indirectly described in the Garuda Purana as follows. Parangatopi vedanang sarva shastrata vedyapi yo na sarveshvare bhaktas tang vidyat purushadamam. Even though one may have gone to the other side of all the Vedas, in other words, you learned all the Vedas, and even though one is well versed in all the revealed scriptures, if one is not a devotee of the Supreme Lord, he must be considered the lowest of mankind. Similarly, it's also stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam indirectly as follows. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavatya kinchana sarvair gunais tatra samasate suraha harava bhaktasya kuto mahad guna manoratenasati dhavatobahi. One who has unflinching devotion unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead must have all the good qualities of the demigods. And contrarily, one who is not a devotee of the Lord must be hovering in the darkness of mental speculation and thus be engaged in material impermanence. And that includes people who are superficially learned in the Vedas. They're not devotees of Krishna. They're in Maya. Srimad Bhagavatam, another quote in this purport, says, Shabda Brahmani Nishnato Na Nishnayat Pari Yadi Shramas Tasya Shrama Phalo Hiedhunam Iva Rakshataha. One may be well versed, superficially, in all the transcendental literature of the Vedas, but if he fails to be acquainted with the Supreme, which means Krishna, then it must be concluded that all of his education is like the burden of a beast. You're just working. Shrama Eva Hi Kevalam. Or like the one's keeping a cow that doesn't give milk. Similarly, continuing from the purport, similarly, the liberty of discharging loving transcendental service to the Lord is invested in everyone, even the women, the Shudras, the forest tribes, or any other living being in sinful conditions. We already had one verse to that effect. And now another one. Te vaivitant yati taranti chadeva mayang stri shud. Oh, wait a minute. That is the same verse. Yeah. But okay, I'll read it again because Srila Prabhupada gives a somewhat different translation here. Te vaivitant yati taranti chadeva mayang stri shudra. Huna shabara api papa jivaha yad yadbhuta krama parayana shila shikshas tiryagjana api kim u shuta dharana ye. Right, it's not exactly. Yeah. it is exactly the same verse. So, the other translation Prabhupada gives here, the lowest of human beings can be elevated to the highest stage of devotional life if they are trained by a bona fide spiritual master well versed in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. If the lowest can be so elevated, then what to speak of the highest who are well versed in the Vedic knowledge? The conclusion is that devotional service to the Lord is open for all, regardless of who they are. That is the confirmation of its application for all kinds of performers of the service. So very important in Srila Prabhupada's rendering here of that translation is that, yes, even without studying all the Vedas, if you immediately take the devotional service, even if one is very fallen, you can immediately attain their perfection of life, then what to speak of those who are well-learned in the Vedas? Then their perfection is assured. There are similar verses at the end of the 9th chapter of Gita that mam hi pātavya pāśruja yepi syuv pāpa yonayaha sriyo vaishas tatā śūdras tepi yanti param gatim. Those who take shelter in me, though they be of lower birth, women, vaishyas and shudras, can attain the supreme destination, Krishna says. But then he goes on to say in the next verse, King Puna Brahmana Punya, Bhakta Raja Shyastata Anityam Asukam Lokam Imam Prapya Bhajasvamam. Then what to speak if even the people are very lowly can attain full perfection by taking shelter in me? Then what to speak of the very high class people, the very pious brahmanas and who are my devotees, and the kshatriyas who worship me in this world which is full of birth and death and suffering of all kinds. And then Krishna concludes the chapter with the manmanabhava madbhakto madhyaji mang namaskuru mami vaishasi yukvaivam atmanam matparayanaha. So whatever, low, high, this birth, that birth, sinful, pious, learned, not learned, always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, bow down to me. In this way, you become completely linked with me and one in devotional service. So, continuing with this purport, reading from this purport, therefore, Srila Prabhupada writes, the devotional service of the Lord with perfect knowledge through the training of a bona fide spiritual master is advice for everyone, even if one happens not to be a human being. And generally, the animals and the birds, you can't expect them. They don't have the mental capacity to even think about what the Vedas are or what the goal of life or who God is. But the Garuda Purana, which Srila Prabhupada quotes next, says, Kita Pakshi Mriganam Cha Kita Pakshi Mriganam Cha Haro Sanyasta Chetasam Urdvang Eva Gating Manye King Puna Gyaninam Dhrinam. Even the worms, birds, and beasts are assured of elevation to the highest perfection of life if they are completely surrendered to the transcendental loving service of the Lord. So what to speak of the philosophers among the human beings? Well, there are examples. Gajendra, who's an animal species, fully surrendered to Krishna. Then we have Bharat Maharaj, became a deer, and in his next life he became Jarabharat and achieved all perfection. So the point is being made that everyone can take to pure devotional service, even without learning all the Vedas. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada continues the purport, therefore, there is no need to seek properly qualified candidates for discharging devotional service to the Lord. Let them be either well-behaved or ill-trained. Let them be either learned or fools. Let them be either grossly attached or in the renounced order of life. Let them be liberated souls or desirous of salvation. Let them be inexpert in the discharge of devotional service or expert in the same. All of them can be elevated to the supreme position by discharging devotional service under the proper guidance. And then, so that's the end of the extract I'm reading from the purport. There's only part of the purport. It's a very, very long purport. So you may ask then, what's the point of studying the Vedas? Well, the point of studying the Vedas is to know Krishna. And if there weren't people who did study the Vedas and understood this, then they wouldn't be able to tell the people who don't study the Vedas that you have to do this, or they wouldn't be able to convince people who are inclined to study. Krishna makes people, some people, actually the better class of people, makes them intellectually inclined. Man is an intelligent animal, and that intelligence is meant to use to be search for searching out the higher, at least from the Vedas we can understand that we're supposed to elevate ourselves. That may be taken in a very materialistic kind of way, but that Krishna describes the Vedavadarataha, those who think they know the Vedas, but they don't, because they take the pushpitang vacham. They take the flowery words of the Vedas recommending elevation to the heavenly planets as being the all-in-all or the essence of the Vedas. So it's that is to help people also to come up gradually, step by step, from the platform of performing Vedic karma kanda. You're supposed to be elevated. Sarva kama akilam parata, jnane parisamapyate. Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita that all these karmic performances, they're supposed to elevate one to the platform of knowledge. And then one was perfect in knowledge, then Vasudeva Sarvamiti. He understands Vasudeva is all in all. So, if one can come to that immediately, all well and good, but the Vedas are required to guide people on that path. Some do it gradually, some do it slowly, some do it immediately. And the Vedas, of course, are required. I mean, it's said that the uncivilized people can immediately be elevated, but the point is it's not expected. It's expected the uncivilized people act in an uncivilized way, which is quite non-conducive for Krishna consciousness. Now, this is a somewhat related point. I got a query asking me to speak something from the historical point of view of the bhakti language, how it shifted from Vedic Sanskrit to classic Sanskrit and then different kinds of dialects, especially in Bengali. We have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spreading of Krishna consciousness. We have, it's expressed in Bengali, Chaitanya Charitamrita, for instance, and the Bengali Padavali poems with their very personal feeling for language. Well, of course, it's not only in Bengali. Many of the Vaishnava poets in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wrote in Brijbhuli, which is a language which no one speaks. It's only it's a combination of the Brij Bhasha and Bengali, and it's for praising Krishna's pastimes. And there are Maithili poets in the language of Mithila. But yeah, definitely the Bengali language has the most important truths of Chaitanya Charitamrita are mostly in Bengali, although Chaitanya Charitamrita is also interspersed with Sanskrit and bits and pieces of old Prakrita, even some Urdu and this and that. So as far as the historical point of view, I'm a bit skeptical. I haven't studied it in depth. I'm a bit skeptical of this idea that there was Vedic Sanskrit. And definitely there was, and even our acharyas accept that, but the idea that this simplified form of Sanskrit that we get in the Puranas, or it's not the same as the classical Sanskrit of the Vedas. Well, I'm a bit skeptical of that whole idea, because we find the Ramayana is in very simple anustup shlokas, the most simple form of Vedic meter, and the language is very simple, and even the concepts are very simple, but that was composed by Valmiki Rishi millions of years ago. So I'm skeptical about that whole concept. But in general, we can say that with the progression of Kali Yuga, that people's ability to remember and to understand complex things decreases, and so the Puranas are more important. Again, Jiva Goswami has established that the Puranas are more important than the original Vedas in Kali Yuga, because many of the Vedas are lost. They're also very difficult to understand, and the essence of all the Puranas is in Srimad Bhagavatam. And it happened that not only in Bengali, but the bhakti cult was being presented to the common people around the same time as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Hindi, just like the Avadhi language, to be precise, old Avadhi. Ramcharitmanas was written in the Avadhi language, which is very popular among the followers of the Hindi language, of which Avadhi can be said to be a dialect of Hindi. In Ramcharitmanas, we have devotion to Lord Ram is recommended, but it doesn't have many deep details of difficult stuff. It's easy. So this is presented, the books in the vernacular languages, not in Sanskrit. They present the truths of devotion, bhakti, devotional service. There are so many around that time. The Ashtachap, the eight stamps, you could say, beginning with Suradas of the Vallabh Sampradaya. He wrote in that Brijbhasha songs about Krishna. It's all that which is actually according to the Siddhanta, which we have to find ultimately from the Srimad Bhagavatam, the essence of all the Vedas, that is to be accepted as fully authorized and as the same essence of all the Vedas. So that's one reason why the bhakti cult was presented in other languages. It's a whole complex history, other languages than Sanskrit, languages which are not as perfect as Sanskrit. Sanskrit means a perfect language. Languages based on Sanskrit, they're perfect to the degree that they are like Sanskrit. But they can convey, even English, which is not at all a cultured language according to Vedic culture, even technically it's not, but that can convey the highest truth. The point is that the real knowledge of the Vedas, Vedeshu Durlabham Adurlabham Atma Bhakto, that is conveyed by devotees. Pure devotees can convey that knowledge even in any medium, in any language. Vedas, they're in Sanskrit. That is the language of the Supreme Lord. Sanskrit is the perfect language for describing the qualities of the Supreme Lord. But ultimately, that has to be realized within the heart. So in other languages, descriptions are given. But again, that knowledge has to be revealed within the heart. If we learn all these things in English, and by the grace of the devotees that is revealed within our heart, then with perfection of life, even without knowing a word of Sanskrit. I mean, it does help to know some, to understand the concepts. On the other hand, if we study all the Vedas and expert in Sanskrit, but we don't know Krishna, then we miss the point altogether. But still, again, the Vedas, it's not undermining the Vedas at all. The Vedas are very important. It's super important, but we have to understand them in the present age through Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a big discussion. It's almost 11:30 at night here in India, in the Janmashtami. We don't usually stay up this late. Devotees, you can hear in the background, maybe are singing Hare Krishna mantra very blissfully. And I could go on speaking, but my next talk is also quite a long one, and running out of space on the discs. So, I'll finish there. Hare Krishna. Vanta kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nitaya churnakang padhyoni patya kripvacha kaku shatameta dahambhavimi. He sadhava sakala eva vihaya dura garanga chandra sharane kurutanu ragaha. Parivadatu jano yatata tava nanumukaro navayam vicharayamaha. Hari rasa madira madati matta puvi vidotama nartama nirvishama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.